السلام علیکم ورحمۃ اللہ وبرکاتہ نحمده ونصلی علی رسوله الکریم اما بعد رب اشرح لی صدری ویسر لی امری واحلل عقدۃ من لسانی یفقہوا قولی قال اللہ تعالی فی الفرقان الحمید اقم الصلاۃ لدلوک الشمس الی غسق اللیل وقرآن الفجر ان قرآن الفجر کان مشہودا صدق اللہ العظیم اللہم صلی وسلم علی سیدنا محمد وآلہ. My noble audience, by the grace of Allah Almighty, last week we started to discuss a very important topic, and basically the topic that we have started a few weeks ago was to try to understand the certain weaknesses that emerge immediately after the month of Ramadan and try to address them. And in a nutshell, what we made mention is that if the men can be mindful of what they are looking at, they will be safeguarded and protected from many wrongs. And if the women can protect and be mindful of what they are saying, they will be safeguarded from many wrongs. But in addition to these two body parts, we were discussing a ritual, a ibadat, that basically people become very relaxed about after the month of Ramadan. And basically being relaxed about this one ibadat allows them to be very, very weak at different departments and different facets of life. And that is the establishment of Salatul Fajr. We made mention last week that the Satan, who is our manifest enemy, he tries relentlessly to keep us away from our Creator. Whenever we connect with him, he tries to break that connection. The month of Ramadan is that great month of connection. So straight after the month of Ramadan, once he is released, the Satan, he gets to his work. He commits to his work. And he tries to break that connection. So whatever is powerful for him is basically powerful for us as well. So keep that in mind. Whatever is powerful for him is powerful for us as well. So if he can deprive us of something, that basically is something that we need to adorn ourselves with. And that's why after the month of Ramadan, when the ta'alluq and the connection with Allah has been established, one of the first things that he attacks upon is the number in Salatul Fajr. Because he does not allow us to start the day by connecting with our Creator. Basically, that is our power station. You need to connect to your power station. So basically, we are in this domain, in this theater. And there are many things that we see, that we hear, that take away the life of our battery. We got a spiritual battery. So the spiritual battery is being used. So we need a charge point. And that charge point is early, early in the morning. So Allah Almighty says, you come towards me, charge up, and then you can move throughout the entire day with a lot of ease. As we will make mention in the light of many, many ahadith today, by the grace of Allah Almighty. So it was a advice that I gave to myself and to my noble congregation last week, that we need to establish ta'alluq with Allah Almighty early, early in the morning. And I said that for the men, they should try to accommodate Salatul Fajr in jama'ah, because they'll get maximum reward for that. And women, they establish their Salatul Fajr at home. Now, I'm going to take this to the next level, and I want you to focus upon this as well. It is human nature. Allah has made us such that if we find any kind of profit in something, we have this very strong inclination towards it. We have a very strong inclination towards something that is profitable. If something is harmful, we have a very strong decline, a very strong inclination not to pursue it. That's human nature. Now today, in the short time that we have, I'm going to make mention of a few benefits that are so mighty, profound, when it comes to the establishment of Salatul Fajr or establishing Salatul Fajr in Jama'ah. And keep in mind, at the end of the day, no one is going to benefit from this except the person that establishes. So there is no benefit to Allah. There is no benefit to anyone except the person. He will really, really benefit from this. And keep it in mind, the nature, we need to focus upon the reward that will encourage us when we are challenged in the morning to throw that blanket off. You know, we go to the gyms and we can pump weight 100 kilos, but we can't remove that half kilo blanket early in the morning. That's how weak we are. So physically we are strong. We can pick up 100 kilos. But spiritually we are so weak that we can't remove that blanket. And let's say in summer it's going to be a sheet. We can't even remove that sheet. Even a child at the age of maybe 16, 17, 18 months can carry his own weight. He starts to walk. We can't even drop our legs on the ground early in the morning. It is so powerful, that moment. So we need to break the shackles. So we are chained up by sleep, by fatigue. We need to break those shackles and move to something that is very, very profitable. Now, I'm going to make mention of a principle, one more principle, and then we will establish our discussion upon this principle. This principle has been understood from the Quran. On the Day of Judgment, there are going to be many, many people, past, present, and future generations. And each person will be dealt with accordingly. Justice will be served. Basically, there will be two groups, as we hear many a times. Ashabul Yameen, Ashabul Shimal. فَمِنْكُمْ كَافِرُونَ وَمِنْكُمْ مُؤْمِنُ. So one group will be the people on the right side, and the other group will be the people on the left side. So the people on the right side are basically those that have succeeded. And the people on the left side are basically those people that have failed. But there's another station that many a times we do not discuss. And basically there's an entire surah in the Quran that has been given the name of that station, that junction. And that is Surah number 7, Surah A'raf. So A'raf is a station or a junction that lies between paradise and hell. So it's dead in the middle. So basically people that do not have enough to make it directly into Jannah, and those people that have not done enough to make it directly into An-Nar, they will be placed at A'raf, this junction, right in the middle. But basically, according to the understanding of the theologians, the people that reside at A'raf one day will be rescued by the mercy of Allah Almighty, and they will make it into Jannah. So basically, they will not be thrown into An-Nar. Now keep that in mind. So there's a group of people that will not be thrown into the fire of hell, but will not be allowed to enter paradise. And there will be another group that will be allowed to enter paradise. And then there will be another group that will be thrown into the fire of hell. Can I get a nod? Did you understand what I said?
Yes.
Now, let's study the verse of the Quran. Surah Ali Imran, Surah number 3, verse 185. Now the verse is very lengthy. I'm going to the middle part of the verse that is linked to the topic that I want to discuss, and that is فَمَنْ زُحْزِحَ عَنِ النَّارِ pause وَأُدْخِلَ الْجَنَّةِ فَقَدْ فَازَ. That a person that has been removed away from hellfire, that's number one. وَأُدْخِلَ الْجَنَّةِ and is admitted into paradise, فَقَدْ فَازَ, he's successful. Now keep in mind, there are people from A'raf. They have been removed away from fire, but they have not been admitted into paradise. So basically, they have not attained success. This is the point I'm trying to make. To attain success, it is a two-leg journey. A person has to be rewarded with two things. Number one, he has to be removed away from the fire. Now, it doesn't mean that a person that is removed away from the fire will make it to paradise. There's a possibility he may be thrown into A'raf. Of course, it's not a torture cell, and it's not a garden of bliss. But he will be sent to A'raf. According to this verse of Surah Ali Imran, he's not successful yet. To attain success, he needs to be escorted to Jannah. So a person that is removed away from fire makes it into paradise, فَقَدْ فَازَ. He is successful. So these are the two things that we need to secure. Now what is the impediment? What is the obstacle and the hindrance that does not allow us to make the effort that will allow us to secure the ticket that will drive us away from the fire and allow us to enter paradise? In a subtle manner, Allah Almighty concludes the verse on the ailment. وَمَا الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا إِلَّا مَتَاعُ الْغُرُورِ. That is the ailment. That basically the life of this world is the enjoyment of deception. So basically this world and what it contains gets the better of us. And it does not allow us to secure the ticket that will allow us to be driven away from an-nar and be escorted into al-Jannah. Now let's study Salatul Fajr. Let's study Salatul Fajr. We need to secure two things. What is number one thing? We need to be driven away from the fire of hell. That's number one. But that's not good enough. We need to secure the second ticket, and that is entrance into paradise. That's why at Maghrib and at Fajr, the Masnoon Du'as, that are many, there are two Masnoon Du'as that I would like to draw your attention to. One is, Allahumma ajirni minan nar. And one is, Allahumma inni as'aluka al-jannah. Both. So, Allahumma ajirni minan nar is for man zuhziha anin nar. And Allahumma inna as'aluka al-jannah, ya nas'aluka al-jannah. This is, wa udkhil al-jannah. Because Allahumma ajirni minan nar alone is not sufficient. Just think about it. If this dua is accepted and a person is standing in a araf and he's not in paradise and he's not in hell, this is a punishment in itself. That he can't make it into paradise. That's why both du'as are made mention of at the time of Maghrib and at the time of Fajr. Alright. Now, let's study the ahadith pertaining to these two tickets that we need to secure. So we need to develop the strength, the spiritual strength. We need to enhance our iman with good deeds, so it can become strong, and in the morning it allows us to pump the spiritual weight, and then we can throw the sheet off that is half a kilo and stand up on our own two feet and make it to the bathroom and establish our communication with Allah. Because if we don't, we are harming ourselves. We are depriving ourselves from so much. We are harming ourselves. So the first hadith that Hazrat Ruwaiba radiallahu ta'ala an has reported, and you can find this hadith in Muslim, gives us an understanding that if Salatul Fajr is established, Now we're going to speak about Jama'at afterwards, the congregation. We'll speak about that afterwards. But let's just speak about the establishment of Fajr. May it be in the masjid, may it be at home. Of course, masjid is the best. But we're just talking about the establishment of Fajr. The Nabi of Allah says, لَنْ يَلِجَ النَّارَ أَحَدٌ صَلَّى قَبْلَ تُلُوعِ الشَّمْسِ وَقَبْلَ غُرُوبِهَا يعني الفجر والعصر. لَنْ يَلِجَ النَّارَ أَحَدٌ. Now basically this means that a person will not be touched by fire. He will be protected from fire. Who? صَلَّى قَبْلَ تُلُوعِ الشَّمْسِ وَقَبْلَ غُرُوبِهَا. The person that establishes the Fajr and the Asr prayer. Jama'atin is not a condition in this hadith. Jama'atin is not a condition in this hadith. So if a person can establish his Asr and his Fajr, basically this person will not be touched by the fire. So basically he has attained the first ticket. The worst scenario out of this is that he will be stationed at A'raf. But it is better than being stationed in An-Nar. The worst scenario is that he doesn't make it to paradise. So Allah says, alright, you stand at A'raf. But it is much better than being in An-Nar. Does it make sense? Now this is the number one. Now, in this hadith, Fajr and Asr both. And basically these two times are very, very demanding. Very, very demanding. Fajr is demanding, as we all know, because it's the time of sleep. And Asr is very demanding because it's the time of worldly preoccupation. That's the time when we're wrapping up. And that's why the Nabi of Allah says, مَنْ فَاتَتْهُ الصَّلَاةُ الْعَصَرْ فَكَأَنَّمَا وُطِرَ أَهْلُهُ وَمَالُهُ. A person who misses Asr, a person who misses Asr, it's like he has lost everything. Now why did the Nabi of Allah say Salatul Asr? Why not Salatul Fajr? Why not Salatul Zuhr? Why not Salatul Maghrib? Why not Salatul Isha? Why Salatul Asr? If a person misses Salatul Asr, he is like he has lost everything. Because he's trying to gain everything, and in that gain, he has missed Asr. That's the time when he's trying to gain. Khazane ko bhar raha hai us waqt. That's the time he's wrapping up and he's filling his treasury. And the Nabi of Allah says, you think you are filling but you're losing everything. Preoccupation, worldly preoccupation is taking you away from the establishment of Asr. You have missed everything, you have lost everything. So keep in mind, we can do it. Look at mushkali, Fajr or Asr parna. Is this hard for a believer? Think about it. In worldly arguments, when it comes to dunya, one of the most successful people in dunya, in terms of dunya, is Bill Gates. He's the richest person right now. So you think about it, if Bill Gates says to me, or to you, I would like you to come to my house, VIP invitation. Do you think that we have the courage and the audacity to decline? And if you say you have, you're kidding yourself. Don't lie to yourself. If he invites you and he says, you come to my house in America, I would like to speak to you, we will all say yes. And we will accept that invitation. We'll accept the invitation. We can't say no because we can see a lot of manafi'. We can see a lot of benefit in accepting this invitation. Do you think he's going to invite you every day? No. Do you think he's going to give you a couple of hours? No. He's a very busy person. He's a very, very busy person. He's got so much on his plate. But you will be sure that you accept and you make it on time. Forget about making it on time, you will be well before time. And you will brag about that moment. When you return back, you will brag about it. You'll speak about it. You'll say that I sat with Bill Gates, so on and so forth. The one that created Bill Gates, and the one that created all that Bill Gates has, he invites us. And he says there's no time restriction. No time restriction. VIP invitation is 5 times, VIP. But other than that, you can knock on my door any time. It's not 5 minutes, 10 minutes, you can speak for 1 hour. But the sad scenario is we don't want to speak. And when we do speak, we want it to end in quick time. First of all, we don't want to speak. And when we do speak with him, we want it to finish very quickly. And think about it, we want it to finish very quickly because we have some engagement. It is Allah who is going to place khair in that engagement. The one that controls the engagement and the work that we are traveling to, he says, talk with me. We say, yes, we will talk with you, but only 2 minutes. Only 2 minutes. Only 3 minutes. We're stipulated. But if it was Bill Gates, and he said after 5 minutes, out, we'll say, a little bit more. A little bit more. I've got a few more darkhast. A few more things that I would like to share with you. What a double standard. Allah Almighty invites us. We should be privileged. How we should look at salah is we should feel privileged that Allah is allowing us to come to Him. Allah is allowing us to talk to Him. And there's no restriction. The only restriction is make wudu, be in the state of purity, because these are the ethics of my majlis, my adab, you know. That's it, nothing else. You come and you talk to me. And then you will talk to me and you will not go back empty-handed. I will reward you. Salatul Asr, 5-10 minutes. Layyali jannara ahad. You will not be touched by the fire on the day of judgment. How strong and profound is this reward? Cannot be completely and absolutely understood whilst we are in this dunya. It will only be understood when we make it on the other side. Now that is only one part. That's for man zuhziha anin nar. Now we need to secure wa udkhil al jannah. We need to make it into paradise. We don't want to be stationed at A'raf. So the next hadith of Bukhari. The first hadith was of Muslim. Second hadith of Bukhari, Abu Musa radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he reports. Man salla al bardain dakhal al jannah. Man salla al bardain dakhal al jannah. The first one addresses the fire, the second one addresses Jannah. Man salla al bardain dakhal al jannah. Who establishes the prayer, bardain, the two cool time prayers. So this is Fajr and Asr. Once again, Fajr and Asr. Because you're showing your allegiance early, early in the morning to your faith, and you are doing exactly the same at the time of Asr. These are the two testing times. You have to overcome your laziness in the morning, and you have to overcome your worldly preoccupations at the time of Asr. And both are a mighty, mighty test. So, man salla al-bardain, whoever establishes Fajr and Asr, is there fi jama'atin in this hadith? No, no jama'ah. Establish the prayer. Dakhal al-jannah, you will enter paradise. So you will not be stationed at A'raf. Not be stationed at A'raf. You will make it into Jannah. Now, the topic I want to start now will take some time. But let's say we make it into Jannah. Is that good enough? فَإِذَا سَأَلْتُمُ اللَّهَ فَاسْأَلُوهُ الْفِرْدَوْسِ. The Nabi of Allah says, when you ask for Jannah, ask for Jannatul Firdaus. We don't want the entry-level Jannah. We don't want the entry-level Jannah. We want the highest level of Jannah. And the Nabi of Allah says, when you ask for Jannah, don't ask for Allahumma inna nasaluka al-Jannah. No, no, no. Allahumma inna nas'aluka al-jannata al-firdaus. The highest Jannah for the believers. For the believers. So how do we attain this highest level of Jannah? Now this is a big question mark. How do we attain? Alright, we prayed Salatul Asr, we prayed Salatul Fajr, we have been protected from the fire, and Dakhal al-Jannah, we have entered paradise, but entry into paradise, we don't want to be the last person that is entering paradise.
We don't want to be that person that enters paradise and he is left at the bottom level of paradise. There are so many different levels. We want to make it high. In this dunya, we like to experience uruj and taraqqi, ascendancy. We would like to experience ascendancy in Jannah as well. We would like to make it into the high levels, and this is the demand of the religion and the demand of the Nabi of Allah, that you strive and struggle for the highest level. So how do we get the highest level? Is it only by establishing Salatul Fajr? Or only establishing Salatul Asr? Or are there conditions attached with this? We will talk about this next week. So right now we have established two things. We know the formula that will keep us away from the fire. And we know the formula that will allow us to enter Jannah. So this Jummah we have arrived at the door of Jannah. But if I am hungry and food is in front of me and I don't eat it, I will still remain hungry. I need to eat the food. So you got the formula is there, now you need to take it. You need to consume it. You need to implement it. Sleep with the intention that you're going to wake up for Fajr. That's the first thing. I made mention of this last week. Sabse badi galti yahan karte log. Sote is niyat se ke uthna hi nahi. Sleep with the intention. That's the first thing. Even if you sleep through it, at least you made the intention. Sleep with the intention, I'm going to wake up. Your eyes open at 7 o'clock, inshallah you'll be forgiven because you made the intention. But Allah knows the strength of the intention. You made the intention, but at the back, uthna koi nahi. Intention appear, yes, I'm going to wake up in the morning for Fajr, and then when you dozing off, inshallah. That's not going to work. Allah knows the intention and what is surrounding the intention and what is beautifying that intention. Solid intention. That I'm going to wake up. Now let's say that we can't wake up, Allah will forgive. Now you sleep, from that time that you sleep, you get the reward. You are preparing yourself for communication with your Creator. The entire night will be ibadat. And you go to work with the intention that at the time of Asr, I'm going to establish my prayer. In 20-21 years I've been here, a few people have said that I was working at Asr and I lost track of time. Happens. I had no intention to miss Asr. I am very punctual with my prayers, but I got so caught up that I forgot. And when the sunset, I realized, oh, maine to asr nahi padhi, I didn't pray asr. He will be forgiven. But if one person enters the workplace with the intention, zohar padhni nahi, asr padhni nahi, I'm not going to pray zohar, I'm not going to pray asr, it doesn't matter. If I find time, okay. If I don't find time, okay. No. From the time you make that intention, you are in the state of disobedience. Sleep with the intention of praying Fajr, and go to your workplace with the intention of establishing Zuhr and Asr. Can we do that much?
Sure.
For ourselves. For the betterment. For our own betterment. Have a very firm commitment to this. And inshallah we will speak about how to propel each one of us to the highest levels in Jannah next week. And basically the formula once again is Salatul Fajr and Salatul Asr. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa ant astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayka.